Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be back here this morning. Wonderful ways of praise and worship this morning, brother. We're going to continue our series of glorification. And I am the third of four, I think, or maybe five. I think four, isn't it? So I'm the third one, so I'm almost at the end. But I'm not quite there. And I titled this talk, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, Who's the Greatest of Them All? Reflecting the glory of Jesus. And that's the fun of the course. There we go. Ron, are you recording?
Yes.
So we are going to be in Acts 3, and we're going to look at verses 12 to 16. So if you want to turn your Bibles, I'm sure we're reading one of the rustlings. So from verse 12, when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handled him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name, and the faith that comes through him has completely healed him, as you can all see." And just prior to this, this is where Peter heals the lame beggar. So that's where this section comes from. Just before this, that's what we're talking about this morning. And it's through that glorification of Jesus' power that we're going to focus on. I did a little bit of a listen back as well to Ron's talk, as I did last time, and to Mike's as well. And there was a couple of things I wanted to point out from Ron's talk, and I think it's just really the definitions you get are really fantastic. The words of glorification, the praise and worship of God, as simple as that. You know, worshippers repeat their glorification of God. As we did this morning, we came to glorify the Lord this morning through our bread and our wine. The practice and acknowledging and revealing the glory of God by one's actions. Well, hopefully I can do that this morning with this sermon. I'm going to reveal that glory. And the glorification of God in all pursuits of life. And Ron did what I liked to do, actually. He's quite a lot of great lyrics as well. He stumbled with good songs. So can't do that this morning. But he's some great lyrics of glorification. And it was fantastic at all. So I'm going to focus on 3 points this morning. And I've been a little bit inspired by my former pastor, so we're going to have some illustrations this morning. I'm going to need some help with those illustrations as well. So the first point I want to talk about is the source of power from Jesus, our faith in Jesus. We look at verse 12. It says, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us? Is it by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" So Peter begins by redirecting this crowd's amazement away from himself and John, emphasizing that the miraculous healing of the lame man was not due to their own power or godliness. Instead, it was through the faith in Jesus Christ. And this underscores a crucial principle in our Christian faith. The power of God operates through our faith in Christ, not through our own abilities or piety.
Yeah.
And there's a great cross-reference here in John 14, 12-14. It says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So Jesus promises that those who have faith in him will do the works he has been doing, and even greater things. And as we've seen that in Peter, he did a great thing. He made a lame man walk. Now, obviously, I'd love to get a lame man to walk this morning. I'd love to go, "Yes, you can get up and walk." I'm not sure that's going to happen. It's not my gifting. But if I ask in Jesus' name, he will do it. In one way or another, he will do it. Another cross-reference as well, which is another reference I found in Ephesians 2:8-9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Again, for that glorification, we can see that salvation and miracles come by grace through faith, and not by our own works, our own deeds. So I want to pick out my first illustration, and this is what Alan used to love doing. He used to go to the bank And you get something we're completely roundabout, like this. So I have this. This is my first illustration of how we can see the source of power. So I want you to consider this lamp. Now this lamp doesn't look like much, it's a green lamp, but I want you to use your imagination. So I want you to imagine it's decorated in all the finest jewels, all the finest gold, the silver, the platinum, whatever you think of it as a fine metal or as a fine gem. Imagine that lamp is decorated. Ooh. Obviously, this is my son's family's bedroom. I wouldn't be decorating something as expensive as that in his room. But you can imagine it, right? So there's your lamp. If we look at the lamp itself, no matter how designed or how well polished this lamp is, you can't produce light on its own. Can't do anything, can it? It can sit there, it can look glorious in front of us in terms of gem, but there's no light in the lamp. But similarly, if we think about our faith, connects to the divine power of Jesus. So if I take this lamp, and hopefully I have a bus to the Bolton Transport, and I plug in, it lights up. James is very excited now, it's light. But this light, now lamp lights because we've connected it to a source of power. So in our faith, the source of Jesus is our power in our faith, just as the source of electricity is for this lamp. And that's what we need to be. We need to be lamps lit by that source of power.
Yeah.
Amen. Turn it off before I forget. But that's the illustration of the source of power from this. It's that illustration of how faith is a conduit for God's power to flow out of us. So my second point is Jesus, the glorified power, as we talked about this morning. We're talking about glorification. And in verse 13, it reads, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go." So Peter, what he's doing there is connecting Jesus to the God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's affirming his divine identity and mission, and explains that Jesus was glorified by God despite being rejected and crucified by the people. And what this does is it speaks to that fulfillment of prophecy of God's redemptive plan through Jesus, who is both the suffering servant and the exalted Lord. And we talked about suffering this morning, about the frequency of that suffering, whether it's daily, whether it's weekly, whether it's monthly. Jesus suffered for us. He is the suffering servant, but he is also the exalted Lord. And just to look at some of the prophecies from Philippians 2:9-11. "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Amen.
Amen. God exalted Jesus to that highest place. And I think if you look at those words in Philippians, I bet there's probably 5 or 6 songs that take those words and can use them in a chorus or a verse. So just have a look for your old songs. You know, think about the songs you sing in church, and some, I can definitely say some of the ones I think, those ones you use, they're really, really common. But they speak some volume to what we're talking about this morning, the glorification of God. And in Isaiah 53:3-5, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and he was held in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." A fantastic prophecy from Isaiah. And it's about that suffering servant, and yet he was despised and rejected, still bore our sins. So, my next illustration, I am going to need a volunteer. Someone who can come and help me. I was going to ask it, but you've got Master James. I don't think you'll have fun with this.
No.
But it does require some, you know, gloves. You can come in. Don't need these gloves. And these are, just for the sake of the recording, these are yellow marigolds that I've stolen from the sink in my kitchen. Now, in this piece of kitchen wrong here, I have a piece of cardboard. Right? Now, what I want you to do, so I want you to put it in your hand, I want you to crush it in the bag and make a diamond out of it, please. Crush it as hard as you can and make a diamond out of that. We'll be here for a few million years, but you might get there eventually.
Hang on.
carry on.
Ah, you see now, look at that. Right. Thank you very much. Yes, as you can see, with a little bit of help and a little bit of pressure, the diamond has appeared. I actually stole this from a chandelier in our previous angle, so decided to hang it. I thought, oh, it looks diamond like that. But as you know, I think if you know about diamonds, you know about pressure. Diamonds only come from pure pressure. They come from coal, and you have to really compress it down. It takes millions of years to do, which is why we now find diamonds today. But similarly to this, that transformation, Jesus was put under that pressure, wasn't he? Under that pressure to die for us, and through that transformation, through rising again, we now have a faith, we now have a connection, and it's revealed his true glory and exalted by God. And this transformation from suffering to glory is a powerful image. So we've suffered, we crushed that coal, and we turned that into a diamond, and look how nice it looks now compared to what it looked like before. And that's what we go through, don't we? As we learn and as we grow in faith, we get crushed, we get pressured into something so much more beautiful than what we started with. So my final point I want to talk about this morning is witnessing the power of the resurrection. And this is in verse 15. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this, aren't we? I wish we were witnesses of the real thing, but we're not. But what we are witnesses of is his glory this morning. And Peter declares that they were witnesses of the resurrection. When Jesus was glorified, which is the cornerstone of our faith, that's why. This resurrection of Jesus is not just a historical event, but a transformative reality that empowers believers to live in a newness of life, tested by God's saving power. Remember that, it's God's saving power this morning. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-8, it says, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared before Cephas, and then the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom were still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me." So Paul recounts that resurrection and that appearance of Jesus, affirming the witness of many. And in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We are all God's witnesses this morning. From Newbarn, from Longfield, from Isaac Rise, Gravesend, Hyde, wherever we are all witnesses this morning. God's grace and God's glory in Jesus. And Jesus commissioned his disciples to be their witnesses, and that's what we're commissioned to do this morning. So for my final little illustration of this, witnessing the power of resurrection, I have what is my mom's very close up mirror. So it's only too close to it, you might just get it. But if you look at the mirror, and by itself, it doesn't actually produce any light. It's only taking light that it can see from the outside, from the sun. But if we take a torch, and we shine it like that, the mirror actually reflects the light. I'm trying to shine it under the sink so I don't blind anyone, because it's quite bright. But as you can see, I can bend the light and I can move the light. And that light represents the power and glory of Jesus. And what we should be as a mirror of that is we should be reflecting that. That's our job today and forever, is to reflect that power and glory of God so that we can be a light for all across the world. And in the same way, we as followers of Christ are like that mirror. We don't have the power. The power isn't ours. As we said this morning, the power isn't ours, the power is Jesus's. But we should reflect that power in our lives and everything that we do. So I want to encourage you to place your faith fully in Jesus this morning. Understand that his power and salvation come through him. And additionally, challenge you to be a witness of Jesus' resurrection in our daily lives. To really speak out, talk to those around us, and share with those people our strength and our personal faith. Share our testimonies, which is so important. And I say this to so many people. Testimony is so powerful. And I encourage people to come and talk. I encourage people to come up here this morning and every morning just to speak. Because if someone sees and hears from someone who's here this morning, and they can see that God has worked in them, Jesus has worked in magic in them, that they can realize that it can happen to them as well. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. They say, oh, it won't happen to me. Oh, it won't happen to me. He won't do that. But we've already read this morning, he will. He says, you bring it in his name, he will do it for you.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to encourage this morning. And we need to live our lives out through the gospel. And all of the things that the gospel talks about and teaches us. And become visible examples. Really visible examples. Friends, family, everyone around us. So to summarise, we have faith in Jesus as the source of this in my power this morning. Jesus, though he was rejected, he was glorified as the servant of God. And the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of our faith. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.